In this week's Parsha, Parshas Metzora, we begin once again with Musar from Mishlei that's quoted from Rabbeinu Bachai. This quote from Mishlei is being connected to the first pasuk of our Parsha, which is Zos Tiyeh Toras HaMetzora B'Yom Taharaso. Hashem says to Moshe, these are the laws of the Metzora on the day of his purification. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Mipri Vi Ish Tispa Bitno Tzivua Sefasav Yispa. A man's belly is filled by the fruit of his mouth. He will be filled by the produce of his lips. This pasuk needs to be understood. It's telling us that what comes out of our mouth, which is called the fruit and the produce of our lips and mouth, can help us be satisfied. Where is the main place of our satisfaction? In the world to come. I think this makes sense to us. What we talk leads us to places. If we talk about sports, our lives will go in one direction. If we talk about business, life will look different and who we become friends with will look different. Tzen Rena recommends that we should do the best thing for ourselves, which is to talk about Torah and mitzvos. That should be our focus. A person who does this gets a tremendous reward from Hashem. That's our focus and goal. But if, chas v'shalom, we choose to speak Lashon Hara and Rechilos, there are consequences. The fruit of what we talk about will haunt us. Punishment is prepared for the one who speaks Lashon Hara, and that punishment can come at any time. The Pasuk of Mishlei tells us, speak Lashon Hara and be filled up with punishment, or choose to speak about Torah and mitzvos, and then there will be true satisfaction, legitimate satisfaction, from what a person's lips produce, from the tfuah sefasav, and he will ultimately be satisfied with the great reward that is hidden and reserved for him in the world to come. Further in Mishlei, the Pasuk says, Hamavis v'hachayim tliyim b'lashono, that death and life depend on a person's tongue. If a person busies himself with Torah, then his tongue gives him life, and if not, it's the opposite. The Pasuk continues, Bo'aveha yochal piria. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Someone who loves his tongue will always speak about Torah, and he'll get a good reward from heaven. In contrast, if you have a person who is habituated and regularly speaks Lashon Hara, what's the result of that kind of speech? He brings upon himself many sorrows, many troubles. Sara'as, as an example, comes because of Lashon Hara, which is what this parsha and last parsha spoke about. The first pasuk in the parsha calls a person who has saras a metzora, because this is a contraction of two words, motzi ra. He brings out bad. Saras comes to a person who then becomes a metzora because he brings out, he's motzi, he speaks about others in a way that is ra, that is wrong, and he speaks bad things about them. Our parsha deals with how does a person get healed from the saras. He's been diagnosed by the Kohen, he has separated himself from others, and he called out Tame Tame to Ohupas. Now he has done teshuva and he is healed. When a person is healed from Saras, he needs to bring a karban for his Lashon Hara that he spoke. The person who is sick with the spiritual disease of Saras can only be healed by a Kohen. The Kohen needs to go out to the Mitzora where he sits outside the camp alone. The Tzen Arena reminds us why we have so many laws and so many strict rules when it comes to Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is an Avera because someone who speaks Lashon Hara is harming three people. He harms himself. He's going to be punished for the sin that he just spoke Lashon Hara. He's harming the one he spoke about. Others treat him differently. He has consequences in his marriage and his business. And he has also harmed the one who listened to the Lashon Hara and accepted it. So this person, with a few words, has ruined three lives. One needs to understand how deadly Lashon Hara is. Let's analyze another kind of weapon so we can understand exactly what Lashon Hara does. We can have a battle where we can fight with a sword versus an arrow. If I asked you which one is worse, the sword or the arrow, you would definitely say that the arrow is far worse, because with a sword, a person can only be killed if they're standing right next to the other person. You can't attack them from far away. So the person who's stronger and close by might have the upper hand, but the person with an arrow can be far away, can be safe, and they can kill the other person with no chance of danger to themselves. The Pasuk tells us in Yirmiyahu, compares the tongue to an arrow. Chetz shachut l'shanam. Their tongue is a sharpened arrow. Lashon Hara is like an arrow in that it kills from far away. It's not like a sword, because Lashon Hara can kill a person, and the person who spoke will not be impacted, will not get into the battle himself. An avera like Lashon Hara, then, is worse than the cardinal sins for which a Jew has to give his life, adultery, idolatry, and murder. There's a story in Tanakh, in the Torah, that shows us the gravity of Lashon Hara. Miriam was a tzaddikus, a righteous woman. She led the women in song by the splitting of the sea, and the Midrash is full of stories of her great acts of self-sacrifice and righteousness and holiness. In the Midbar, She heard from her sister-in-law Zipporah that Miriam's brother Moshe had separated from her. So what did Miriam do? It makes sense what she did. She went to her other brother Aaron and spoke about it and told him that Moshe had separated from Zipporah. She only spoke about her brother Moshe, and she only said that she thought he didn't do the right thing, that he separated from his wife. And even so, she was punished, and she got saras for 7 days. The Tzenar Rena continues that Aaron, who listened to the Lashon Hara, also got saras, but Aaron was healed immediately by Hashem. The fact that these two great individuals were punished for something that seems like a normal family conversation teaches us how great is the commandment, the Isser, and punishment for someone who speaks Lashon Hara. Hashem didn't forgive them and overlook this error because they were great and worthy and important. The Tzenar Rena continues to tell us the process for healing the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah who has healed needs to bring 2 kosher birds. Hashem says he should bring 2 birds that chatter and chirp with their mouth in order to atone for the chattering and chirping of Lashon Hara from his mouth. He spoke too much, and so he now needs to bring birds to learn his lesson not to speak too much. It's Midah k'neged Midah, measure for measure. The punishment fits the crime and teaches a lesson. The Mitzorah also needs to take a tree, specifically the cedar tree, because the cedar tree is a species of tree that stands very regally. It's a very tall tree. And by bringing this tree, the Mitzorah is going to atone for his arrogance. Speaking about others, the desire to judge others, to talk about others, is rooted in a feeling of superiority over others. The ability to say that somebody else is doing something wrong, or what do I think about somebody else, is a sense of superiority that causes a person to stumble and speak Lashon Hara. So the Mitzorah needs to recognize that the root of his sin is because he holds himself to be greater than those around him. The Mitzorah also needs to take an Agudas Ezov, a hyssop bundle, a bundle of a bushy plant that grows very low to the ground. And he takes the tree and this bush bundle, and he ties it with a string that was dyed red with the blood of a kind of sheret, a worm. This is to show the person that he has saras because of his arrogance. And the hyssop bundle teaches him that he needs to humble himself like this low plant and act like a crawling worm that's low and small. Only then, if the person understands his true status in the universe, that he's no better than a worm, that he is low like a plant, will he be healed from his saras, because otherwise there is no hope that he's going to stop talking about others. The Tzenar Rena moves on to the next topic, which is, what happens when there's saras on the walls of the person's home? The pasuk says, "Uva asher lo habayis," that the person to whom the house belongs should come. And it's a strange turn of phrase. Why does it say the owner of the house? The Gemara teaches that the reason for saras on a house is that a person doesn't want to lend his things to somebody else because it's his house. And the pasuk says it's asher lo habayis, that his house, this is his house, everything in the house is his. It all belongs to him, and he's not going to let other people use it because it's his right to say no. He doesn't want anybody to have it. And because of this, he's going to suffer with a of tzaras on the walls of his home. So what happens? He gets the tzaras to teach him an important lesson that what he has is to share with others. The tziva ha-kohen v'pinu ha-sarayis. So the kohen comes, and the first thing he says is that they need to empty out the house. The person who's the homeowner needs to take every single thing that's in the house outside so that the house should be completely empty, bare walls. Why all this hard work? The reason is that the Torah does not want a person to lose something that more than otherwise he would be needed to lose. If the Mitzorah is going to have enough trouble that his house now has saras, the Kohen doesn't want that when he declares the house Tameh, the things inside of the house shouldn't become Tameh. So when he says this house is Tameh, then anything that's in those walls of the house will also become Tameh. And there are some vessels that are in the house that are impossible to make kosher again. So, for example, clay items. You can't put them in the mikvah to tovel them, and they become kosher. You can't kosher them with heat. There's nothing you would do. All you can do is break these vessels. And so this is going to be a tremendous financial loss for the homeowner if they have to break all of the things in their house that can't be made kosher again. So the Torah says that the Kohen should first command when he comes to the house, clear out everything in the house, even the most basic items, things that you could have bought in the dollar store. So with punishment comes a sensitivity to loss to prevent any suffering that is not necessary. In the Sefer, the Tzvar Hamar, he writes another explanation, another analysis of how we can see why the sin of Lashon Hara is so dangerous. And he compares it to illness in a body. And it's a very apt description, which I think when we start to think about illnesses in the body, we can see how Lashon Hara, which is an illness of the soul, can impact us and how why we should prevent ourselves from speaking it. So the Torah Amora writes that just like a body can have different diseases, so too the neshama can have different diseases. And he brings a proof from a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, "Refa nafshi ki chatasi lach." Hashem, heal my nefesh, meaning my neshama, because I sin to you. When we sin, it makes our soul sick. So we find that at times, a soul, our neshama, has a disease that needs to be healed. There are illnesses, physical illnesses, that a person can get that look insignificant, like a toothache or a splinter. But if they're not treated properly, or in time, they can get out of hand and get very dangerous. Before the invention of antibiotics, a blister could cause death. If the wrong bacteria got in, a person could die from having a blister. Or if a person gets a scratch now and he gets MRSA, an antibiotic-resistant bacteria, it's a very big deal. The same thing happens with the soul. There are very dangerous soul diseases that don't look so consequential. For example, the sin of Lashon Hara. A person will think to himself, what kind of sin have I done already? I spoke with my mouth a few words. It's not such a big deal. It's not such a big avera. But that's exactly why it's so dangerous. Because the person doesn't understand that really this is one of the most serious averas that there is. That the sin of Lashon Hara is more serious and more deadly than the sins of the three major sins that a person can do, that a person has to give his life for, namely idolatry, adultery, and murder. And therefore, it's very hard for a person to do tshuva if he thinks that what he did is not a big deal. He can't appreciate the gravity of a sin because in his eyes, he doesn't think much about it. And so, because he won't think about it, there's no cure for it because he won't look for a cure because he doesn't understand he's sick. So what's going to happen to him? He's going to get yisurim. He's going to get troubles where Hashem is trying to wake him up. But what's he going to do? He's going to start kvetching. Oi, why am I having so many troubles? In his opinion, he's never sinned. And so he doesn't even have an idea that he has a disease of the soul, which if he knew he was sick, he could find cures for him then. The Tenarena says that another reason why the illness of the soul, the Lashon Hara, is comparable to a physical disease. He says that there are people who get sick, but then they don't want to take the medication that they're prescribed. For example, once my son had a very severe infection, and he needed to take this antibiotic that tasted disgusting, and he couldn't get it down. It was really challenging. We needed to have IV antibiotics because he couldn't take the medicine. So there are some people who would choose at times to die rather than take a medicine. We can understand this. We know that chemotherapy drugs can cause a person to get very, very sick. And it's understandable that a person won't want to take the drug because they're going to feel so ill, and they might want to die rather than have to go through that treatment plan. So similarly, in matters of the soul, healing from Lashon Hara is a very bitter treatment plan. It's like chemotherapy for the soul. In the case of somebody who regularly speaks Lashon Hara and they want to do tshuva, what is their bad taste in medicine? What is this medicine that makes them feel awful? They would need to go to the person that they spoke Lashon Hara about and say, you should know I spoke Lashon Hara about you. Would you please forgive me? So what's the problem with this? Yes, of course, we might feel bad making the other person feel bad. But what's the root of Lashon Hara? The root of Lashon Hara is that person's haughty and that they think they're greater than the other person. And here, they're going to need to lower themselves and ask and beg forgiveness from another human being who they thought they were superior to. So they might choose death so that rather than go to a person who they think that is lower than them and by having to ask for forgiveness. Another parallel between physical disease and the disease of Lashon Hara is that there are diseases where the cure might exist, but until you can find the cure, get the cure, until the pharmacy actually produces the cure and you get the okay from the insurance company, it's going to take a very long time. Or let's say a kidney transplant or a heart transplant. The cure is out there. We know what the cure is, but getting to that cure takes a long time. And in the meantime, a person is at risk of dying every second that they don't have the cure. Every second before the kidney transplant or the heart transplant, the person is at risk for death, and that's why they need the transplants. Similarly, a person who spoke Lashon Hara, they might want to do tshuva. They know they spoke Lashon Hara, and they're going to go ask forgiveness for the person they spoke to. But they can't get in touch with them. Or they don't even know who they spoke about. They're talking about the person who's driving slowly in front of them and sent a picture to their whole WhatsApp group. They don't know who that person is, that they just bad now. So they can't even go ask forgiveness. And by the time they can figure out who they spoke Lashon Hara about, the disease of Lashon Hara may have already overtaken their soul, and they might already be punished and dead. Another parallel is at times the cure might be easy. It might not be bitter or disgusting, and it's easy to get this cure. But what happens? The disease has already spread throughout the body, and the cure can't help it at all. So, for example, there are certain types of cancers where if it's caught in time, it's an easy, not benign, it's going to be troubles, but it could be a little, not such a problem. A cancer on the skin can be removed when it's precancerous. But let's say it's not caught in time and that disease has spread. It's a death sentence for the person. The person can't survive because they can't be healed. There's no medicine that can help them anymore. This is what we find with a person who is used to speaking Lashon Hara. It's too hard for them to change their habits. When a person speaks Lashon Hara regularly, they feel compelled to speak Lashon Hara, even when they know that it's not in their best interest, even though they want to stop. They can't help themselves anymore just from speaking Lashon Hara. The disease has spread too far. What we see is that we think of Saras as a preventable disease, but we may not be able to cure it. It's like an addiction to cigarettes. The time to stop it is before you start. What we can do is think twice before we start to speak Lashon Hara, because once we start to speak Lashon Hara, we may not be able to stop, even if we want to. The Tzena Rena then continues further and mentions one more element of the purification process. So we already talked about how we bring the cedar and how we bring this low bush and the red thread and the two birds. So there's one more part of the process. And this is a very, it's a bizarre part, but that's the point. The Metzora needs to shave off all the hairs that are on his body. The reason for this is that hair naturally makes a person look good, be more attractive, and feel good about themselves. And the Metzora needs to remove all his hair so that he won't be so full of chutzpah and arrogance and sense of self and confidence in a negative way, self-confidence, which is narcissism. So he needs to completely get rid of his arrogance and his Lashon Hara, and only then can he be purified. And as a humble person, will he be able to receive healing and be able to be cured from Lashon Hara. So he is shamed by lowering himself, by removing all his hair, where he no longer looks so handsome, so that he can then come to a place where he can stop speaking Lashon Hara. The Torah continues and says, V'chiper ha-kohen al ha-mezahar. The Kohen shall atone for him. The Kohen explains to him, how can he make sure not to get into this situation again, and how can he be forgiven? Meaning, it's completely up to the Metzora, it's completely up to him whether he takes the cure that is needed to completely get rid of his arrogance and his Lashon Hara. And if he does this, then he will be purified, then he will receive purity and healing, and he will transition back into the community. If he chooses to stay with his arrogance, if he chooses to that he wants to continue speaking Lashon Hara, then he will not be able to rejoin the community. The lessons from this parsha are clear. Lashon Hara is a very hard sin to stay away from. We're used to speaking about people, we're used to judging other people. This is something that's natural, that's part of how we interact with society, and we have to find tools to stop ourselves. And this parsha gave us a number of tools to stop us, to help us stop. First, we need to remind ourselves how severe of a sin it is. We can think about Miriam and what she did and whether we would have done something a lot worse and the extent of her punishment. And also that the sin of Lashon Hara is more severe than the sins for which we would sacrifice our lives. We also need to realize that once we start speaking Lashon Hara, it's very hard to stop. And the cure is not easy. We can't take back our words, and we can't necessarily easily find the forgiveness that we need in order to be forgiven. And once we start speaking Lashon Hara, we become people who cannot be healed. So we need to stop before we start. One way to stop speaking Lashon Hara is to work on becoming more humble, like the hyssop plant rather than the cedar tree. Because the more humble we are, the less likely we are to judge others and to think that we have some influence on what they do or say. And we will stop looking into other people's business and mind our own business and stick with what we can control, which is ourselves. It's a hard battle, but as we said in the beginning, if we use our tongue for the right purposes, we have tremendous rewards awaiting for us. Have a good Shabbos.